Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Today, a little non-traditional, and again, if you're a first-time guest, will you come next week? We won't have quite as big a worship team, and the music might be a little lower for you, for some of you that was loud, but how many of you guys know every generation has their music, and we need to honor that, and we need to allow them expression as well, right? And, you know, we're going to show a video in a moment. We shared it at our annual vision meeting, which was a couple weeks ago now, and some of you, obviously not everyone was there for that, which is fine, but not everyone knows our story or our heart, and one of my favorite verses is in the book of John, where Jesus was coming up against some adversity with the Pharisees and Sadducees, the teachers of the law, and they're asking questions like, you know, why should we believe you, Jesus? And he said, stop. I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. He said, my testimony's valid because I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. How many of you know it's important to know where you came from? It's also important to know where you're going. And, you know, if you can use your past as a hitching post or a guidepost. And how many know we should use our past as a guidepost, not a hitching post? And if you stare at your past, if that wall's the past and that wall's the future, if I stare at my past, I have my back to my future. There's times you have to turn around and realize, hey, I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I'm going. And so I'm going to show you a video here and kind of to fill in some of you that don't know the story. A little over a year ago, we made a run at purchasing the Kmart building across the street, 160,000 square feet, and we're going to lease out areas. In fact, the trampoline park had talked to us about 25,000 square feet, but now they're across town. But the banks came by at the end after our due diligence of the engineering and said, hey, you know, we can't provide the finances for you. So when you see the first part of that video, if you're not from around here, you're like, well, why is he talking about Kmart? But the video is a highlight of 2017, and I think it's going to set the stage for the rest of the day as I talk about, hey, where are we going, and how can we partner together and do some big things for Jesus? And so let's just take a look at here, a highlight video from 2017. There's 100 villages today that don't have a pastor in them. How many of you guys think the next decade we should change that? Yeah. And, you know, I think many of you know, but be in prayer. On Easter Sunday, we'll be in New Exit. Pastor Bo's taking a team up there. They haven't had an Easter service with a pastor in New Exit for 9 years. And how many of you believe everyone? God calls people. We need to believe that he calls people to every crook and cranny, every large city and every small village across America and around the world. Amen. And so, thanks for letting us show that. I hope you saw our heart. There's a couple things that hopefully kind of bleed out of that. And that is that we're a church in a city, but we're a church for a city. And we believe that God has put us here. And I want to share a quick thought from the Genesis 11. If you have your Bibles, open them up. They'll be on the screen. And if I was to entitle today, it would be People Need the Lord. How many of you guys believe every peep needs the Lord, huh? And how many of you guys hate peeps? Raise your hand. Some of you guys hate peep. Now, we're just changing that whole thing. We're going to change the thought. We love peeps around here. Every peep needs the Lord, okay? You sing that song in the hymn book, People Need the Lord. Okay. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, it's on the screen. If you're looking at it, or you can open it up on your smartphone and follow along the message there on YouVersion. Genesis 11, verse 1 says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. Now, wouldn't that be easy to be able to do missions if the whole world had one language and a common speech? These people in this culture, they messed up missions. They made it a little harder for us, okay? Here's the context. The book of Genesis is a historical narrative. It's a story. It's a story of the beginnings. We read about how God created the heavens and the earth and beginning of the human race, and then it begins to expand. And Genesis 11 is there's people kind of gathered together, and they had one language, a common speech. In verse 2, as people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, and they settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. I want to pause here for a second. Any businessmen in this place here? Anyone trying to crack into a new market and trying to be creative and innovative with business? These guys were brilliant. Up until this time, they built with stone. And they built with mortar. These guys said, hey, let's do something innovative out of the box. Let's, you know, hey, time's gone. We've been building with stone for a while. And they made bricks on location. They found tar and they began to build. They were innovative. And they were creative. Now, that's not the problem when you read this story. The problem's not their innovation. The problem is the motive behind what they did. Let's read on. It says, they said to each other, come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. I want to pause. How many of you guys want to know that motives matter? How many of you know it's not what we do sometimes, it's why we do what we do that really matters, okay? It's the motive behind our actions and our choice. And so here they are, they're innovative, they're creative, they start to build a tower, but their motive was what? Let's build a tower to God so we can make a name for who? Ourselves. And I want to show you the context. This next verse. This, I think, maybe in my mind, the first picture in the first book of the Bible, a powerful leadership principle. If you're a leader, you can build your company off of this. A church can build your church off of this type of a leadership thought. Listen, it says, the Lord said, if as one people. So the Lord came down to see what they're building. If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this. God's given a commentary. Hey, you're innovative, you're creative, you're speaking the same language, you're building. He says, if as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this. What's his commentary? Then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Now, how many of you guys would like God to come down and look at what you're doing and say, you know, with the way they're doing it, nothing's impossible. I want to talk real quick, some truths we can learn about that as a church as we move forward. And we're going to talk this year specifically about the next 3 to 4 weeks on how we can share Jesus with our city and how we can broadcast his name and make him popular. This is not about us making ourselves something that makes us look good. It's about how do we make Jesus look good in our city. How many think we should do that? I heard someone say once, you know, and this is, you know, we're going to be innovative, we're going to be creative. I heard someone say once, as a church, we cannot continue to use 7th century language, 18th century architecture, 20th century methods to reach 21st century people. In other words, it's not the method that's sacred, it's the message of Jesus that's sacred. Okay? Now, couple truths from this text. You take out your worship guide if you have them and follow along here if you want to take notes. But number one, the number one truth about doing the impossible is number one, if as one people speaks the unity. If as one people. Oh, that's great. Our projector went bad. It's our new one. Okay. If as one people, number two, speaking the same language. That's called our lexicon. Say lexicon. If as one people speaking the same language, and in a moment I'm going to walk through what we would call our True North lexicon when it comes to why. Why do we do mega sports camp? Why do we go to the work? We did 12 days of Christmas and rang Salvation Army bells and made cookies and handed out Christmas gifts. Why? Why do we do that stuff and why? Why do we ride pink mopeds at Easter time when the roads aren't icy? Number one, they're fun. But number two, there's a reason. We have a lexicon. If it's one people speaking the same thing, number three, we begin to work together. There's some forward movement. And a few weeks ago, I talked about, you know, hey, if we were all a snowflake, we'd be a bunch of flakes. But if you put us all together, we're a storm. Okay, and a storm can stop traffic, and a storm can change the direction of roads. And so if as one people speak in the same language, we begin to work together, nothing we plan to do will be impossible. How many of you believe if we partner with a God who nothing's impossible, then we can see the impossible done as we partner with someone bigger than us? If God's your business partner, we should make big plans, right? Now, let me share with you real quick our lexicon, a set of words we all speak. And you'll hear me say this if you're new here, or if you've been here for a while. You'll hear me say, we will do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus. We'll do what nobody else is doing to reach people no one else is reaching. And you might say, well, is that biblical? Yeah. What about the four people who picked their paralyzed man up on a mat, carried him to Jesus? They couldn't get him to Jesus because people were in the way. So they crawled up on top of the roof, and they cut a hole, and they lowered the guy down to Jesus. They did things that was non-traditional, non-customary. Why? Because they picked up someone else's burden, and they did what most people would never do so they could get someone to Jesus. So we'll do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus. Why? Because we believe this. Number one, why? This is part of our lexicon. People matter to God, therefore they matter to us. People far from God matter to God, therefore they matter to us. In other words, God came to seek and save that which is lost. And those that don't have an understanding of who Jesus is yet. We love coffee at our church. And how many of you guys think coffee is like that sacred bean? Call it Christian crack. Legalized addiction. I used to call Starbucks my church. It was St. Arbucks. But we love coffee shops. In fact, it's kind of fun. So we go to different coffee shops to build relationships with the baristas and people. And so we've been building a relationship with a guy named Isaiah, the owner of a coffee shop, for 3 years. And he came to church last Sunday night for the very first time. And he looked at Josh and I and said, guys, I'm sorry it took me 3 years to follow up an invite. I will not miss a Sunday again when I'm in town. His wife is doing the clinicals in Corvallis, Oregon. And so he's gone for another year, but he comes home for a week or so to run his business every month or so. But it took 3 years, and I thought the power of just building a relationship and realizing people far from God matter to God, so they need to matter to us. Yeah. Number two, our lexicon, people are temporary and eternal. Follow me here for that. They're temporary and they're eternal. In other words, every one of us has an expiration date, but that expiration date just launches us into eternity. The Bible says it's appointed once for man to die, expiration date, but after that to face what? Judgment for eternity. So we believe people are temporary and they're eternal. And so that brings us to our third lexicon when it comes to why do we believe we should reach people for Jesus is number three. What we do in the temporary can change the eternal. In other words, we believe when someone makes the decision to serve Jesus, it changes their eternal destiny. But we also believe, so what we do in the temporal changes the eternal, but we also believe this. How do you believe that Jesus changes the temporary for people too? He can restore families. He can change lives. I'm sure glad that someone affected my, came into my father-in-law's temporal world and changed his life because it changed the whole trajectory of my wife's family when Joe Franco gave his life to Jesus years ago because some church found out he was poor and broke and they brought him Christmas presents. And he checked the church out and came to know Jesus. What we do in the temporary can change the eternal. And number four, we also believe this proximity equals responsibility. What does that mean? I prayed over a couple today. This was their last Sunday. As they are being PCS'd, is that what they call it, military PCS? The next location, they'll be in Fort Bragg. So I prayed over them and I said, Lydia and Logan, I said, here's the good news. We had you for a season, but now you're going over there because there's the new people that only you can reach in Fort Bragg that you're being set by God to reach. How many? Proximity equals responsibility. Students in your classroom, if there's desks in front of you, around you, behind you, how you live your life is important. A church, how we live our life around our coworkers and our family makes a huge difference. Proximity equals responsibility. Now, with that said, there's a tool I want to give you real quick. I want to give you a tool. Take the evangelism, Easter evangelism plan that's on right in front of you. You might say, what's evangelism? Let me just break it down this way. It's a simple way where you can impact someone else in a simple way for Jesus. How many of you guys think you should live a life that matters and you should impact the people around you? How do you believe that? Most of you. Some of you just don't want to raise your hand right now. My wife enjoyed the fact that I only spoke for 15 minutes. And so, but there's two sides to this. One side has five steps. We're going to ask, what would happen if 1,000 of us in our four gatherings partnered together and said, you know, let's impact our city? And so there's five steps. We'll watch a video in a moment to kind of introduce that. But on the back, it has invest and invite. And I've got a name. My first name is Josh, and I'm praying about who else to add. Josh is married, has 3 kids. I met Josh the other day. We had staff meeting, went to a restaurant afterwards, and the guys were at one table, and the girls were at a different table, and the gals were not because we always sit like that. It's just they had round tables that fit 4 people. It's kind of hard to put 8 people around a table of 4. And we're there, and Josh comes up and says, hey, guys, how's it going? My name's Josh. I'm the owner here. If you need anything, let me know. And I says, I need something. He said, what's that? I said, I came to your place. Could you come to my place sometime? He goes, what's your place? I said, True North Church. He says, oh, I'm a spiritual person. Got a little defensive. And I said, well, I am too. I think we'd fit along real well. And we started small talk and chatting or whatever. We talked a little bit about leadership and stuff like that. And I said, I'm going to drop by a book for you called Soup, which talks about engaging the culture of your team and all of that. And he's a chef. And so I dropped back by with that book and with an invite to our church for Easter. And he said, I'm going to come. Well, he bumped into Pastor Sonia yesterday at Michael's. They're shopping for something. And Sonia said, hey, you're the guy from the restaurant. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like your pastor. I think I'm coming this Easter, and I'm bringing my wife and my 3 kids. So Josh is number 1. I got to pray about my next 5. Who are you going to pray for? We all can. So here's what we want to do. We want you to text 206-535- 1955, because every other bunny is in town, okay? And so let's change that. If you text that number, it's our text in church. We'll email it, text you back updates throughout the week to remind you, hey, save this, update Facebook with this. We'll even tell you maybe what you could say, a sample saying or whatever. And then the last week before Easter, we're gonna do a Meme a Day campaign, and we want to paint our city. We feel like with Christmas they got Elf on the Shelf. But with Easter, we got Peep on a Jeep. Okay? And it's the day where we can make Peeps great again, okay? It's our chance, okay? And why? Because we grow in circles, not rows here at True North. For those of you in life groups, know that's who we are. But let's do this. Take your card out right now. And there's an old song that I used to sing as a kid that says, people need the Lord. And they truly do. We believe that the people who don't know Jesus matter to God, so they should matter to us. And so as the worship team comes, and we're going to close today, I'm going to ask you, how many of you guys will begin to pray for and begin to write some friends down and some coworkers down to say, you know, I'm going to do my best to invite them to church. Here's the reality. Over 87% of those who come to church for the first time come because someone invited them. There are people waiting for you simply to knock on the door. You don't have to take Easter eggs in a little basket with the colors of their sin and all that stuff, like that stupid little video commercial, okay? But we do want you to be thinking about, can we pray and see God change people? Hudson Taylor said this once. He said, I move men to God through prayer alone. And so that's why this Saturday we have an Easter rally. But I'll tell you what we're going to spend most of our time at our Easter rally doing is we're going to talk about how to serve in different areas that you can help. We do need extra help with 5 gatherings that day here on this campus. So we'd love for you to come if you want to find out how you can just serve on Sunday. Maybe not to serve before. But we also, at the same time, we want to pray. And we will pray and we will pray and we're going to believe God that hundreds of people will hear about Jesus for the first time and make decisions this year at Easter time. Because we believe every peep needs the Lord, right? Easter's for all peeps. And I know it's innovative, it's creative, it's out of the box, but you know something? If it's one people speaking the same language, we begin to do something. Is it possible to see hundreds of people come to know Jesus this Easter? I think it is. If we all begin to do something and move a certain direction, I think we can change the tide in Fairbanks, Alaska. I believe that. If you're here today, you've never made a commitment to serve Jesus, I want to talk to you. You're like this kind of, these guys are kind of crazy. I thought Easter was about Jesus. It is, and I'm glad you asked. But some people don't know that. But maybe you're here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet. I want to pray with you. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I say it's as easy as ABC. A, admit you sin. We've all sinned, the Bible says. B, believe that Jesus died and rose again. And C, confess your sins. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. If you're here today, you've never made a commitment to Jesus. The sad thing is if you left this place today and you forgot who I was, you wouldn't lose a whole lot. But if you leave this place today and forget who Jesus Christ is, you've lost everything. And you don't know when your expiration date is going to be called up. Would you bow your heads all across this place? If you've never prayed a prayer to make Jesus Lord of your life, I'm going to invite you just to pray a prayer with me right now as we close. It's very simple. Just say, Lord, and so just pray with me silently as I prayed out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. But I believe you died on the cross to forgive me. So Jesus, please forgive me of my sins today. Please be my Savior and my life leader. Help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to close in a moment, so please, I'll formally dismiss you in a moment. But if you just prayed that prayer, take your worship guide out. If you just prayed that prayer, and would you right now just give us your name, email, phone number. You might say, why? We want to connect with you. We have a team that will connect. They'll call. They'll email. They'll tell you about the next steps. And so if you just check that box, also, the ushers are going to come at this time, but if you just check the box, I made a decision to follow Jesus today. Or maybe you came and said, no, today's the day I'm giving my life back to Jesus. Maybe you lost spiritual traction, but today's a new day for you. Check that. If you want to be water baptized on the 25th, let us know. I'm going to wait on you now for the Lord's tithes and offerings. So just rip that thing off of your worship guide. Drop it in. If you're a visitor, guest with us, drop your prayer card in the offering bucket when it goes by in a moment. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to partner with you in our finances. Lord, we understand we're stewards. You're the owner. We are stewards. And we steward our resources in line with what you've asked us to do, and that's to tithe. Bless the gift and the giver today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.